Welcome back to Rude Dude.
Welcome to the Rude Dude Recovery Podcast with your host and resident wet brains, Cam and Hen, two dudes navigating the waves of wellness. Thanks for being here. This week, the dudes are reunited. We share our patriotism thanks to the Olympics and give due praise to Steph Curry. Hen shares his wild story of being on the road traveling for a month plus and delves into a hard conversation he had with his oldest daughter. Cam shares a story about the importance of playing like a kid, and the guys go over how it's hard to be around family sometimes and some of their parents' funny quirks. Please enjoy episode 69 nice. Of the Rude Dude Pod. Welcome back to the Rude Dude Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Henry, Henny Lokes, Hen Lobster, Lobman X, Lobadacious, Dadman, the Dad Dude that's becoming more dad-like every day. With my pal, my buddy, my guy, Cameron, Cree Daddy, the Cree, who is also super dad, just two dads and recovering alcoholics who like to garden. We are your hosts of the show that puts some pep in your step, takes some weight off your plate, and reminds you that haters are going to hate, but you are loved. How you doing there, Cree?
Well, dude, it's good to see you on the other side of the screen, pal. And I forgot the put your pep in your step and you are loved part on the last episode, and like I already published it, and I was like, oh fuck, dude. Yeah. I was like, I totally forgot that part.
But you did have a sick ass Blackbird intro, so
dude, wasn't that sick, dude? I was roaming around the house singing it, and now, dude, today, ever since the Olympics and since fucking that basketball game, dude, I've been fucking Captain America, bro. I literally walked in my front yard. I have an American flag. I was just walking around with it fucking yesterday, dude. I was in my front yard just like walking around, dude. I've never been more injected with fucking patriotism than I am at this exact moment, dude.
Well, you know, I was sitting here laughing my way all the way to the bank because all the Steph Curry haters, as you would love to say, can eat my ass and suck on my shaft from the back because we were all united by Captain Steph Curry doing absolutely extraneous, erroneous, fallacious, sensatious Steph Curry things. And this time, it wasn't against your favorite team. It was for your country. So you all fucking loved it. You all got to experience the joy it is to be a Steph Curry fan. The wondery, the magic, the Steph doing Steph things and making it look Steffortless. And a little bit of the Ooh. Bang!
Dude,
magic that is Steph Curry. I mean, bro, tell me I'm wrong.
Bro, I gotta say, dude, some of the memes on this, like what was it? It was like I saw one today where it's like DeVito just sitting there, just like crying, and it zooms in on his face, and like now I totally understand what it feels like to root for Steph Curry, dude. It's just like it's like the craziest shit, dude. Like, I mean, that was unbelievable, bro. That shot, that last. I know this is just fucking. Hey, if you didn't watch that game, you're Olympic and don't listen to this podcast anymore. Yeah. And then go watch it. But dude, that last three was the fucking most insane thing I've ever seen in my entire life, bro. Like,
and you're watching it and you're just like, oh, well, surely this one won't go in. Right.
Yeah.
You're like,
dude.
Well, that one's just stupid, you know? And then it just bim, bim, bink, swish.
I mean, just the coldest shit in the world, dude. So I have been super hyped. I've been roaming around the house singing the battle hymn of the Republic. You know, I'm getting down on all things America. I was really invested in the Olympics, bro. I was really invested.
Where at least I know I'm free. Got a triple-double from LeBron, 36 from Steph Curry, and I want to stand up.
Next to you and defend her. Dude, that's a great one. Hey, here's a quick zinger for you, bro. What's your top American fucking patriotic song? Which one? Which one is it?
You know, especially because We just watched The Sandlot like twice while we were at the beach, but I got to go with Ray Charles, America the Beautiful.
Holy shit, dude. Yeah, dude.
Oh, beautiful is... for oh. Jesus.
Oh, dude. From sea to bitch. shine and see. Oh, and dude, and he kills
the scene. There's nothing more American than the scene where they're playing baseball under the fireworks, which, by the way, I was also thinking, I was like, I'm very analytical and literal person. I'm like, there's no way there was that many fireworks in one spot that like it was lighting up the field. So that's kind of dumb. But let me not ruin the magic for you. The scene is as American as apple pie. There's nothing better. You got the background voice of the guy narrating the one night we all had to play under the lights. Oh, beautiful. Oh, spacious sky. And you got and Fatty grabbing like hot dogs on his way out and shit.
Dude, and they all stop to just, and it shows they're like how they're still kids, right? Like they're playing baseball, and then all of a sudden they all stop and they just watch the fireworks. Fuck, dude, that could make me shed a tear, dude. Now I got to go watch The Sandlot, man.
All right, what's yours then?
Well, dude, I fuck, it's tough. That's a good one, dude. I forgot about Ray Charles. I like the Battle Hymn of the Republic. Do you know that song? Do you know which one I'm talking about? It's that Civil War fucking patriotic one. It's like, thine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He's trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He's loose his faithful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Yeah, dude. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Yeah, dude. I don't know why.
The other one that'll make me put my foot through a door at the barbecue is, we'll put a boot in your ass. It's the American way. Where Uncle Sam put a name.
Dude, fucking rest in peace, Toby Keith, dude. Rest in peace, Toby Keith. Right. So yeah, if you're not feeling super patriotic, yeah, I'm sure you are now after listening to this. Hit us up with your favorite patriotic songs, because there are a few of them that are really good bangers. So Hen,
hold on, before we leave this, I think KD had the line, the number one quote of the Olympics, and I don't remember exactly what he said, but he was like, you know, America's the best. A lot of bullshit happens, but a lot of good stuff happens too. And I think that's kind of how we all feel. And we all get a little more patriotic on the Olympics because you got to root for the home squad.
Yeah, dude. And you know what, man? It seems that there's been a whole bunch of engagement. You know what I mean? And like a lot of people are really hyped on it. So hopefully it can bring a little bit of fucking unity. I mean,
unity.
Unity. You're going to get a whole bunch of, you're going to get a whole bunch of bullshit in any country, bro. But like, you know. It this is fucking America, bro. So be glad that you're here. It can suck.
We're also free to sit on this podcast and say fuck Donald Trump and fuck Sleepy Joe Biden and fuck Kamala Harris.
and fuck Robert Kennedy too while we're at it, and fuck the random fucking Green Party person who nobody knows. I don't even know who that is, but they're gonna be on the ballot, and fuck you too, pal. You all suck ass.
You're just dividing votes to get one of the shitty candidates to win.
That's it. So, Hen, you have been around the world back and again, and I need our listeners and I need to know, how are you doing? How does it feel to be home? We all missed you. I sure as fuck did, because I was sitting here in this exact same chair talking to myself. It was a little rough, pal. So enlighten us.
My favorite part was... when my friends call me, and my friends don't call me because I'm just by myself and alone and sitting in this chair talking to myself, no one ever calls me, no one contacts me because I'm just alone.
Dude, like, I gotta say, I made myself laugh.
Spiraling.
Dude, I did make myself laugh when I listened back on that. I'd be like, I don't even have any friends. Nobody calls me. And doesn't even show
and
up.
And you
anymore.
Didn't even like. You didn't even like, I'm just kidding. You just like kept going. You were like, yeah. But anyway, so I have no friends. So anyway, dude, also when you said we're talking about your cat with a broken dick, I laughed out loud. That was pretty fucking funny. Good, that was a wild story. That was a good episode.
Thanks, bro.
talking about triggers and how people can eat your ass if they don't like it, which is a great attitude to have. We need to, we all need to make the best decisions for ourselves, and people that don't like it can, in fact, eat your ass. So it was a great solo episode. So what had happened was, first we went to Greece, obviously, for the wedding, and then we came back, and I don't even know how long we were back for, maybe a week, maybe two at the most. But Kristen had a work trip to Denver, Colorado. And my work truck is old and tired. I took it to Ford. They quoted me about $10,000 in repair between a leaking turbo, timing chain, and a whole new timing mechanism. My replacing the stereo deck because the stereo turns off, it doesn't work, and it just blasts fucking heat. Have I told you this phenomenon?
I
bust my anus. It's 90 degrees, 150% humidity. I bust my anus all day at work, sweating my ass off. And then I get into my truck and it's full blasting heat onto my legs. So sometimes I have to just pull my feet back, which the cruise control doesn't work anymore. So not for long, but pull my feet back because my shins are flaming hot. So I have to have the windows completely down and driving. It's 90 degrees outside. My heater's on full blast. I just sweated my ass off all day long. Kristen will call me because she always calls me on the way home from work. And when that phenomenon's going, I'm like, I got to have the windows down. I can't talk right now. I get blasted with fucking heat. I'll see you when you get home.
Pray for me, dude. Can it get any fucking worse?
Dude, it is a special kind of hell. I mean, it's not like I was like sitting in a AC cooled office all day, you know, like I was working in the heat and you're finally ready for a little relief from the AC. Oh, no. And it's not just that the AC doesn't work. It's that the heat blasts, full blast.
So anyway,
long story short, take it to Ford, all that shit that's wrong with it and more. 10 grand. I'm like, go fuck yourself. They're like, well, that's chill, but it'll be $500 that we just looked at it.
Guaranteed. Guaranteed, bro. Guaranteed.
So I stood there and argued with the guy. I looked him in the face. I strongly considered, when they pulled my truck up, just going out and getting into it and leaving, like strongly considered, because I looked at the sheet and I was like, so wait, you put the reader on it, which I've done at, you know, at Kragen for free. Reader on it and you read it and that's $180. Like, what are we talking about here? But anyway, put more money into the truck than I did. So I tell my dad, I'm talking to my dad one day and I'm like, yeah, I want to buy like a 250, and that way, well, first of all, I want to get my contractor's license. I want to start a business. I'm working on that. I'm studying for the contractor's business and law is the first one. So that's a decision that's been made. Do flips and for myself, and then, you know, do some remodels and whatever else. So that's exciting. But I was talking to my dad and I was like, yeah, I want to get like a 250. That way, if I need to, like, you do a lot of hauling trailers with when you do demo, because you get tons and tons of trash. So I'm like, I need to get a trailer. I need to get a bigger truck. I need a new truck anyway. And he's like, well, I got a better idea, because he's got that F-350 utility bed that he has left over from our business that we sold. And he's like, why don't you just buy this one? I'll give you a great price, yada, yada. And I'm like, cool. And then we look at the calendar. Kristen's got a work trip. I said, hey, Pop, you're meeting me in Denver next weekend. Sound good? And he's like, yep, I'll be there. I'm like, cool. So I fly out to Denver with my wife. And this is, you know, my brain does not keep track of time like a lot of people. But this was no less than 2 weeks after we got back from Greece. We might have had one weekend at home.
I think it was less than that, dude. I think it was a week. I think you were home for
it. Might have been the next week.
Yeah.
It might have been the next week. So we're at this dope ass resort, because that's where the
convention,
what do they call, convention is, and they get a good deal with the rooms, whatever. And so I'm just like house husbanding it up at the resort, chilling by the pool while she like works and stuff, which was sick. Yeah. And then my dad calls and he's like, excuse me. He's like, I'm broke down on the side of the freeway. And oh, at this point he's like 5 hours from me and I don't have a vehicle, but I'm like, I'll rent a vehicle and I'll come to you right now. And he's like, no, don't worry about it yet. Let me see what's going on. Well, this is an F-350 utility bed. It's not your grandma's Corolla. It's a big ass fucking truck. And they had two of them. And he says they've broken down before and they've had this issue where not any old tow truck can just come pick that beast up. Yeah. So took him like, I think like an hour, hour and a half just to find somebody who would agree to tow it, working with AAA and then calling people himself.
My man's dying over here. He's dying.
Dude, I got going on with my throat. There's COVID mixed in all this previously. Yes,
this story just keeps getting better. He's taking a sip of water for our audio listeners.
Thank you. So finally, he finds a place that'll tow it. The place that'll tow it is in Wamsutter, Wyoming, which is an hour the opposite way from Colorado, where I was, back towards where he came from. But not really back towards anything, because it was directly in the center of absolutely nowhere.
Dude, I've never even heard of that place. Wamsutter?
No one has. No one has.
I've never even heard of that.
It's two gas stations and a motel. That's the town. So my dad's stuck eating dinner at a gas station because there are no restaurants. He sent me a picture of this weird hot dog croissant thing that he ate for dinner from the gas station. And anyway, he has to rent a car. He paid this lady. She had a sign up. It's called Wyo Rides, because in Wamsutter, Wyoming, there is no Uber, there is no Lyft, there is no nothing, there's no people. But there was this thing called Wyo Rides. So Terry, our friend from Wyo Rides, took him another hour in a different direction to Rock Springs, where the airport is, to rent a truck that he had, or he got like a Tahoe that he had to pay astronomical amounts to take from a small town that gets very little business and drop it off in Denver. Meet me in Denver. So he gets to Denver. We spend a few days, which was cool. We went to the Giants. The Giants happened to be there. So that was one of those little God moments. Yeah. I am a Giants fan, and the Giants were playing the Rockies, and that was pretty cool. Beautiful stadium. Good time. And then the plan, obviously, originally was for me to drive the truck back after he met me there. Well, there was no truck. And then they fixed it. And then what they thought it was not what it was. So whatever they fixed was probably unnecessary, which I won't bore you with the details. But so then I was like, well, I guess I'll have to go home and wait for the truck to be done and come back. Because either way, this truck's stuck here. Well, then my wife had the great idea. Why don't you just go home to your family? It's closer. You get to see your family. Perfect.
Yeah.
So I flew home on like that Monday. And then they finally called on that Tuesday. And we're like, hey, we figured it out. The truck's done. Because we were kind of waiting around for them to fix it on Monday to see if maybe I could just go get it, you know? And then at that point, I was like, nah, son, I'm vibing. I'm with the fam, so I'm just going to stick it out. So I stayed, hung out with the family all week, which was great. Got to spend time, a lot of time with both my daughters, my mom, my sister, my niece, my dad, obviously. So that was really cool. And then I had to fly. So getting back was not easy. I flew out Saturday. I flew to Denver and then to Rock Springs. And then our friend Terry from Wyo Rides picked me up at like 9 o'clock from Rock Springs. We drove like an hour and change back to Wamsutter. I stayed in this motel that was the absolute stuff of nightmares. People have died there. People have done lots of heroin there, meth, whatever choice is. It was the bottom of the barrel. But overall, not bad. But, you know.
Okay.
And then the next morning, I went and got the truck, and I got on my way. And for those keeping score at home, Wamsutter is 24 hours drive from Wamsutter to my house, 1,656 miles. And 3 days after I got here, I drove another 446 miles and another 7.5 hours to Duck, North Carolina. And that would be 2,102 miles if I didn't drive back. So I drove back. So that's 2,558 miles and for and 15 hours of driving. And for reference, San Francisco to Duck, for example, is 3,000 miles. So I was about 400 miles short of driving the entire distance of the United States within 2 weeks. My wife did drive there, all the way there, because I was like, dude, I'm so done driving. Yeah, man, it was a lot.
Dude, I there's so much there. Like, what was the name of the Wyo ladies person? What was
Terry from Wyo Rides.
Terry from Wyo Rides. Well, shout out Terry, dude. He's like a solid person. You could even hit
she
yeah. Shout
she
out
was
Terry.
Cool as hell.
Yeah, she was cool as hell coming through in the clutch, dude. I honestly can't think of anything fucking worse than that, bro. And especially because you were driving through like bumfuck Egypt. And I don't know if you got any sleep in that hotel, but watching your little Instagram story of you walking away from it, I can promise you I probably wouldn't sleep. I'd be like, dude, someone is coming to fucking slit my throat, bro. Like, that shit looks so scary. Like, I was I would think like aliens are coming to suck me up, or, you know, skinwalkers are coming to get me. There's no way in hell, dude. No way in hell.
And I didn't take an alternate route. I went straight as I could. And that is specifically designed to be the worst and most boring drive ever. It's literally flat nothingness, cornfields, McNothing, nothing, nothing. I didn't see one sight. There was not one. Actually, I did see one. I went through Indianapolis, which is disgusting and filthy, by the way. But I literally drove right past the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So I guess that I could see the back of grandstands. That was, I think, the one sight that I saw.
Okay. So what was the least attractive state that you drove through? I'm curious.
Buddy, they were all the same. Let me look at the map and see if I can remember. They just were a bummer.
Cuz it's just the Midwest, yeah, right? Like you had to go through like the Dakotas and shit, or did you go through Nebraska? Which way did we go?
Yeah, let's see.
We're going to figure this out live and direct. Cause I just imagined that it would just be, you know,
yeah, I think I went through Nebraska. Yep. Okay. I went through, did I stay north? I went through Nebraska. Oh yeah. And then Kansas City or
south of Missouri.
Yeah, Nebraska didn't really catch Kansas, caught a little bit maybe. And then Missouri. And then, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio.
Okay.
Flyover awesome. Nation, dude.
Oh,
sorry,
dude,
if you're from there, but if you're from there, you know that it's absolute trash.
Just ass. It's just ass nation.
Ass nation, dude.
Oh, dude. Well, I'm glad that you made it safe, bro. Like, that's just fucking craziness, dude. I imagine SB was probably pretty thrilled at those developments when all that was going on. Or was SB playing it cool?
He was pretty chill, but it was just like it was a comedy of errors, you know. And it was costly because him renting the vehicle and then, you know, changing his flight, and then me getting like two additional flights that weren't on the menu, plus another, you know, $2 a mile for Terry from Wild Rides for both of us, and not to mention what we paid to have the truck repaired. But all in all, if we're looking at silver linings, I got a really awesome work truck for a very great price, the old family price. So it's still worth it. And it's, and this truck is to start my business and make money, and make money for my family. So all in all, it is worth it. And for those of you, because a lot of people have been asking me about my skincare routine, and by skincare routine, I mean how I was able to be on vacation for 2 months. I will say part of it was we did sell our company, and I did have a little money from that. So that helped. And also been just like working for myself. So I make more money that way, and I'm able to have a little more freedom.
Yeah. I think that was like the funniest thing. What was it? It was like you posted on your Grease shit, like back when you were in Grease, and I don't know who it was, but somebody commented on there. It was like, how the hell are people affording these goddamn vacations or something like that? And I was like, who's this person, dude? Like somebody commented on your fucking post, like super upset. See,
that one wasn't out of control. It was the fact that I was then consequently in Denver and then Sacramento and then North Carolina at the beach, yeah. Directly. That was the wild shit. The first one was not that wild. I mean, it was, but all in all, man, I'm like, I can't complain. Like I'm so happy to be home. You guys probably know, like being on the road, sleeping in other beds, living out of a suitcase is not the coolest thing ever. It gets old. It gets old pretty fast. And the part of it that's just like being out of your routine. I'll tell you, I went to the gym yesterday and literally probably for the first time in like 6 weeks, which is like a really, really, or if not more, which is really long time for me in these past like 6-7 years. I never really go that long. Yeah. But being out of your routine, not having your bed, not, you know, and then just feeling like I have stuff to do back in real life. Like I need to, you know, we worked on the yard all day. We worked on finishing up the patio, and you know, I'm trying to take my contractor's license test. I need to make money. I need to clean out my truck, other truck, and sell it to Dylan, and get my new truck set up, and finish, you know, my remodeling the freaking duplex that I have that's been sitting vacant for a month because I've been all over the place. So it's just like. But this weekend has felt really nice. We've actually been really productive because we're like trying to catch up with everything. And it's been nice. It's been really nice to be home.
Well, good, dude. Good, man. Well, I'm glad you had a very eventful summer. I mean, at least you can look back on that and be like, dude, 2024, I went around. And I saw some things and Terry picked me up and all kinds of shit.
And I contracted COVID at some point and then gave it to Kristen's whole family while we were at the beach.
That's great, dude. That's great.
That was sick.
I'm sure they were ultra jazzed on that. I'm sure they were super stoked. That's why probably if you hear Henry coughing and phlegming out and shit like that, that's probably just like the hangover COVID. Yeah. What would we say?
I'm definitely on the backside. It's definitely not gone. There was a lot of congestion that came towards the end, which comes with, you know, all the phlegm and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah. Well, that's dope, dude. Like I said, it's really good to have you back. All that shit you just littered off, dude, is that's quite a list getting back. Don't fucking overstretch yourself, bro. Cause like, you know, you got a list of things you got to do. It seems like it's been a kind of like a trend lately, right? Like I feel like I've been running around, like my head's been fucking chopped off lately too, dude. Like I don't have enough time in the day to do everything that I need to do. Like today, even today, right? Like today I'm sitting around, I got kids crying, blah, 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 blah. I'm sitting like this, like, okay, hey, I got yard work I got to do. I got to get this done. I want to paint, you know, a different color in the house. I gotta
I'm
do this.
I'm sure the birthday and the birthday party dug into your,
Birthday party I had, which was fantastic. And let me
take this. Happy birthday, Addy.
Yes, happy birthday to my 5-year-old daughter, Addison. She was fantastic. We went to Sky Zone. I went down a slide. I think I had more fun than the fucking kids did.
Dude, I saw that slide on your story. It looks sick as fuck.
Dude, it was sick as fuck, dude. Addie, like, wanted to go up, right? Like, and I was like, okay, let's do it. You can do it. I was, like, hyping her up the whole way up. And then she got up there, and it kind of had that roller coaster effect where you couldn't see, like, the slide actually going down. And she backed out, and I was like, well, I'm already up here. And so I think Justin was up there with me, and I was like, I'm going down this fucking slide, dude. And like, yeah. I just sent it, dude. And it's funny, man. You can see all the older people. I joked around with Ash. I was like, man, I am a fucking kid still, dude. Or I still feel like it. Like, I'm in a trampoline place, dude. And all these parents are watching their kids jump around. And I look at Justin. I'm like, you better sign that waiver. Get on some fucking sticky socks and let's go jump around, dude. There's like American Ninja Warrior stuff in here. Dude, I was on the balls, like the big red balls. I was doing flippies and shit, dude. I was having the time of my life.
I was the biggest kid at the beach. I'm making a sandcastle. I'm diving in for a dip. I'm body surfing. I'm surfing. I rented a surfboard. I'm freaking the kids, dude. I could a little bit. The waves weren't really big enough, but and the kids are like, "What are you building?" I'm like, "I'm making a fucking tunnel, bro. You want to stick your hand through this tunnel when I'm finished?" Sick as fuck, dude. You don't know nothing. Dude. First, we got to build a moat around our sandcastle so that the waves can't come up and eat our sandcastle. Now, help me dig this moat, son.
Exactly, dude. And like, what was it? Ashley's sister's boyfriend looks at me like, "Hey, you look like you were having fun out there, bro." And I was like, "I was, man." I was like, "You got to stay active. I got to stay young, dude. Like, I got kids and shit. Like, that's the thing with me, man. Like, I gotta move around. I had this like crazy. This is kind of like off topic, but not. I had this crazy like almost like I had to wake up and take a piss one night while you were gone on your adventures, and I was like, I just somehow thought I was like, what if I die like one of those old people who like falls and breaks their hip because they weren't active their whole lives? And I was like, dude, I can't. I was like, dude, I can't have that. I was like, the last thing I want is my kids coming to my funeral and be like, oh, old dad. Took a spill and broke his hip, and then he just died 2 weeks later, like, because that's a common thing, right? And it's because people don't move a lot, right? They can't come out of it. So I'm like on this mission to be like super fucking active and shit, and like, so if I'm gonna go jump around on trampolines, I worked up a good sweat. I had fun, dude. Like, fuck, life's worth living, right?
My mom is 65. And you would never know it because she plays pickleball and tennis, and she's active, and she's still like, you know, there's 65-year-olds that are freaking bedridden. And my dad's the same way. He's 74, 73, and he's still climbing ladders and working in his yard and all that stuff. And it's because he still does that stuff that he's active. And we have someone that we know that's older that I'm not going to name names. That's not doing so well physically. And this person noticed my parents and how well they're doing. They're like, man, I wish that my mom was more active and took better care of herself, because she's like not well. And she complains about like back pain and stuff all the time. And it's because she just sits and never does anything.
Dude, I've seen both sides of this, right? So like my Grandpa Davis lived to 90, right? And he lived to 90. I mean, cancer eventually got him. I mean, it just that shit just happens. But ready, the reason he made it to 90 is because the motherfucker never stopped moving. He never stopped moving. Dude, he was out there working in the garden, fucking, I swear to God, like with a shovel in his hand 2 weeks before the cancer like took him out. Like in it, because it just happened fast. And then I saw with my grandma Fuchs, who didn't move as much as she could. Dude, she just straight up just died just because, you know what I mean? Like she couldn't walk anymore. Like diabetes, they just like, she couldn't get out of the bed, and then that was a wrap. And I was like, bro, I just can't have that, dude. I just can't have that. By the way, shout out SB too. SB looks like a fucking stud too. I gave Deb a fucking compliment, but SB's looking slick. 74, dude. He looks fantastic, dude.
Unreal. He could pass for 59, 62 all day.
Dude, I feel like he could beat my ass still too, dude. Like
he's probably good, dude. He's got that farm boy strength. I like wrestled around with my dad one time a couple years back, and I was like, God damn, that dude, like sometimes I have to hand him the pickle jar. He's got this farm boy strength that just never goes away.
It's just that dad shit, bro. It's just that dad shit. But yeah, man. So that's my little tangent, and that's my advice for this episode. Because if you guys can't tell, this is just kind of like a welcome back now that we're reunited. Go outside, be active, and if you're out there with your kids, man, go be goofy, dude. Go jump on the trampolines, go build sandcastles, go live life, man. Like go have fun. Who gives a shit? I was getting eyeballed by all the stuck up parents. Like, look at this fucking clown. And dude, I could give two shits, bro. So go be active, and don't be the person who dies because they broke their fucking hip when they're fucking 62. We absolutely all don't need that.
I do have a couple of little points I wanted to touch on regarding all my travels and things. One thing that I have here is, and Kristen and I were talking about this, is being an adult around your parents and being around your family is a very interesting dynamic, especially for people like me and then Kristen, who we don't live in the same town as our family, so we don't see them, you know, as much. But Chris and I were talking about it, and I think it's interesting because there is at some point this shift, and the shift is imperceivable. But at some point, you know, your parents at one point of your life are omnipotent. They are your caretakers, they are in charge, they make the rules. And then there's a shift at some point that's imperceivable, but where you are now an adult and you make your own decisions and you make your own choices and your life is yours and you have your certain way of doing things that may not be the same way as your parents. And it's just interesting where the power dynamic changes, where you're equals, or even, you know, as your parents get a little older, it's like, Dad, that's stupid, Dad. Don't do that. Hey, you can't talk to people, you know, the whatever kind of like little shit where like you have the upper hand of power where you're like, hey, don't do that. We don't do that anymore. We don't say that, you know, whatever. And I don't know. It's just like, there was a bittersweetness of being with my family. I fucking love my family. My mom, my dad, and my sister are absolutely my best friends. And I loved being with them. But there's this other side of it. And, you know, you talked about triggers and stuff. You know, there were a few moments of like, this is why I don't live here, you know? And it's just this interesting thing, you know, like I'll double down. I fucking love my family, but like being around them and being with them like I was, you know, it's hard to describe. I think you understand, but it's just like this weird like, oh, yeah. But also like, first of all, I don't need you to tell me what to do. I'm a fucking grown adult with my own life. And you know, just like your time isn't yours. Like out here, I choose how I spend all my time and what I have to do. And then, you know, out there, which I got to help them. My mom's remodeling. I got to help her with some stuff. My dad had some stuff going on. I got to help him with, which is great. And I'm happy to do. But do you get what I'm getting at here? Like, does this make sense?
I do, dude. I do. Because I feel like parents can kind of still have that type of like internal, like, you know, I'm your parent, right? Like, so like they, like, I feel like it never goes away. And I think that's something that you and I'll have to experience as we get older in age, right? Like, wait, I can't boss him around anymore. And it may be hard to let go of. Now, there is something that I do think is kind of interesting. It's just a question it was kind of percolating as you were talking. You know, when they try to like, say like the example, you know, tell you what to do and things like that. Do you think it's because you're an alcoholic that they still try to like, almost like kind of like regulate you a little bit? Do you get what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Like, they feel like they almost got to take care of you. Like, oh, hey, Hen, we're going to do this. Like, do they got to keep an eye on you? And I'm not saying that's what your family's doing, but do you think? Because sometimes I feel like I can do that, and my parents will have like a weird like type of attitude towards things. Like, oh, Cameron, you probably shouldn't do that. Be like, well, hey, you probably shouldn't worry about what the fuck I'm doing. You know what I mean? Like I'm fine. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
I don't know how much of that. I don't know how much of that is you. But I know for me, I'm not going to speak for you, but you can tell me if you feel this way. And it sounds like what you're alluding to, but I think we were such late bloomers and we weren't adults until, didn't become adults until we stopped drinking, which wasn't until we were about 28 years old, that we feel more like that than maybe we should. We're like, I barely feel like an adult, right? But I will give my family all the credit as far as like them trusting me and them not really being like, hey, you shouldn't do that or you should do this. They're really good about it. But there is this kind of feeling of like, oh, am I allowed to do that? Like, is my dad or my mom going to be mad? You know, like this weird, because and part of that I think is the alcoholism, and part of it, I don't know if it's just normal, but like, I still kind of feel like I don't feel like a full adult sometimes. I don't know. It's an interesting question.
You know what, man? I'm glad that you actually said that, dude, because like I said, me jumping on the trampolines, right? Like I was around a bunch of people my same age, and why am I the only one out here jumping around doing on the trampolines, right? Like, you know, like I sometimes still don't feel like an adult. Like, and you know, my family doesn't do it as much. It was kind of in the beginning, but that is a fantastic fucking point, dude. We were late bloomers, right? So it's almost like if we had taken this straight from once we graduated high school and went on about our lives and didn't, you know, go and party till, you know, another 10 years, it probably would have been a little bit of an easier transition. But, you know, now that we're in our later years and in our 30s, it's kind of like, oh, wait, I'm in control here. You know what I mean? And it's kind of weird, dude. That's a weird way of putting it. But Yeah, I agree.
I mean,
with what you're saying.
I'm 36 years old and I've only been an adult for maybe 3 or 4 years now. You know,
yeah. and let me take this moment to actually stroke us, dude, because we've come a long way in that short amount of time, right? Like, look at you, dude. You're getting ready to start, get your contractor's license, which you've talked to me about, and I'm fucking all for, and I'm super stoked for you. But I mean, like, dude, like, think about all that growth that we've done in that amount of time. But I don't feel like an adult. I don't. I have two people. I have two kids who depend on me. I got a wife. I got to pretend like I know what the fuck I'm doing. You know, it's just wild. But I'm glad that you had the recognition that, hey, maybe it's for the best that I don't live here anymore. You know what I mean? Like, since we're talking about triggers, right? You find yourself getting frustrated and shit.
Yeah, and it's hard to explain and quantify, because like I said, I absolutely love my family. But, you know, I had an interesting realization when we were at the beach with Kristen's family and her mom. So Kristen's mom, which my mother-in-law is awesome. I don't dislike her at all. I actually think she's great. She's really chill, laid back. She's like, you know. And she also, like, we wanted to go. Oh, and I went to Chris.
Stapleton,
not Hemsworth, not Collinsworth, Stapleton. I went to Chris Stapleton concert. We mixed that in there. Oh, and there was a trip to Baltimore in the middle of that too. Weekend drive to Baltimore. And before we went, the night before we went to Baltimore, we went to Chris Stapleton, who was fucking incredible, by the way. Put it on your bucket list now. He, everything he can do on a recording, he can do twice as good live. He was fucking, my wife cried multiple times.
Dude, I believe
he
that.
He was incredible.
Dude, watching him sing the fucking national anthem on that Eagles fucking Chiefs Super Bowl, dude, I almost cried, bro. So, like, I can only imagine.
Was incredible. But anyway, my mother-in-law's awesome. Love her. She came and watched Lyndon for us so we could go to that concert. I digress. She did these little things that to me weren't annoying, but her two daughters got so annoyed by her. Mm-hmm. And I realized in that moment that we get annoyed with our parents, not for the specific things that they do, but for the 35 years worth of them doing those things in that way that only we understand, that annoy us. Like, my mom is the nicest woman you'll ever meet, and she's an angel. If you ask anybody, they'll say it. But she does these little twerks, that things that just eat at you only if you've known, you know. And like my dad, especially my dad, everyone that knows my dad loves him. He's a very awesome guy. But yeah, like the closer you are to him and the, you know, 30 years of baggage and bullshit, these little things he does just fucking pinch at me, you know, and they just hit me right in these fucking spots that they wouldn't hit anyone else at, because they don't have that 30 years worth of that fucking, yep, just send it, yep, right to that spot.
Dude, I can think off the top of my head two things that my parents as individuals do that drive me up the fucking wall. One of them is my mom will say something about like a family member to me, right? Like, she'll just like be like talking about something, and then she'll literally look at me and be like, "Don't tell anybody about this." And I'm like, literally like, "Mom, who the fuck do I talk to? What do you mean? Who am I going to tell about this? Well, don't put it on Facebook and shit." I was like, "Mom, I don't go on Facebook to fucking vent the fucking family's fucking drama." Well, I don't know, I'm just saying it. And I'm like, literally told her, dude, like 5,000 times, be like, "Dude, I am not talking to anybody. What you are saying to me in confidence is just me." And then my dad, his constant negativity fucking drives me nuts. The older I get, the more it bothers me. But he's always had this pessimistic turn towards things, where the greatest quote from him is that if I expect it to turn out badly and it doesn't, then I'll be that much more pleased. So he'll go into everything. Yeah, he'll go into everything thinking it's gonna suck ass. That they'll be like, "Oh, dude, you're a peach, Dad. You're fantastic." So like, you know, he'll come in with some random negative comment and like, "What was it the other day he did it?" And I was like, "All right, dude, see you later." Like, I don't even entertain it anymore. I just walk away when he does it, because I'll be like, "Dude, all right, dude, have fun in your fucking dark cloud, fucking Dr. Death. See you later, bro. I'm gone." But yeah, dude, that you're on to something there. I think it's just because we know them best, right? And it's just like, fuck, I'm done hearing this.
And it's all the like previous stuff. Like, the perfect example I have for my dad is like 2 years back, he visited me. We were hanging out. I bent down to tie my shoe, and this motherfucker really said, "When I tie my shoe, I use the loop, swoop, and pull," or whatever. He was like trying to fucking instruct me. I said, "Dad, I'm 34 fucking years old. I've been tying my shoe for 30 fucking years now. First of all, I know how to do it. Second of all, I'm not going to fucking adopt your way because you think it's better. Like, fuck all the way off with it." And this is, I'm not being facetious. This literally happened. And that's my dad. Like, in a nutshell, his way is better. He knows a better way, and you should do it his way. And so it's things like that where it's like, motherfucker, like...
I'm sorry, dude. It's the super boss voice, dude. When he's there, like, "I do the loop and swoop and pull."
"I do the loop, swoop, and pull."
Saves me 2.5 seconds on each shoe.
Yeah, exactly. So there's that. The other thing I wanted to mention that I thought was really cool is I got to have a talk with Katie. As I usually try to, because her and I, you know, we have not a contentious relationship, but a difficult relationship. And, you know, overall, she's just bummed that she didn't have a normal life with two parents with her that lived together, that stayed with her, that didn't go to jail and rehab and all the other things. And we had a talk, and I mentioned on this podcast a few weeks back The episode with Brian, I believe, which was an awesome episode. Brian was really cool. We talked a lot about parenting and, you know, what comes along with when you're an addict and a parent and getting, you know, relationships back with your kids and all that. So go check that out with Brian. But I got to tell Katie that it is not lost on me that it's a fucking bummer that I get to be the parent for Lyndon, my stepdaughter, that I didn't get to be for her. And there were a lot of waterworks and tears and all that from both sides. But it felt really, really good and really freeing, and like this weight just to tell her, hey, I know. I'm not sitting here like oblivious thinking, let me just be this awesome dad for Lyndon that's not even my kid, and just, and I was, that I was not for my actual daughter. It felt really good to be like, hey, I know. I'm just telling you that I'm aware that it sucks. And then I also got to say on the other side, you know, for one, when I chose Kristen, I didn't choose her, obviously, because she had a kid. But I also couldn't rightfully say, well, I shouldn't choose this person that I really like because they have a kid. You know, that's also not a reason to count her out. So either way, there was no, what the fact that she had a kid wasn't going to stop me or propel me towards her or from her, you know, that's not coming out, but you get what I'm saying. But yeah, just to be like, hey, I'm aware that I'm this father for this other kid that I wasn't for you, and I'm sorry, and that sucks. I just want to let you know that I'm aware.
No, dude. How did she take it initially?
She was like, yeah, I've felt that way. And I'm like, I'm sure you have. And she felt a lot like she needed to explain herself for her resentment towards me. And I was really trying to tell her, hey, you don't need to explain yourself. I understand. Yeah. I understand that you were robbed of a traditional childhood, that you were robbed of parents, because the listeners may or may not know, her mom's also struggled throughout the years and is currently not doing great. So not only wasn't just robbed of one parent, she was robbed of both parents. She's lived with my mom since she was about 6 or 7, and she lived with her until a couple years ago when she now lives with my dad. So, and I just told her, like, Katie, I know, I get it. You don't have to forgive me. You don't have to say it's okay. You don't have to be okay now. I just want you to know that I understand, and I deserve some of your disdain. I deserve some of your frustration. I deserve whatever you feel towards me, I deserve, and it's okay. I do want you to know that I'm trying, and I love you, and I'll always be here for you, and I will always love you. And like another thing I told her is, I said, we got a lot of life. We got a long life, knock on wood, where now we just get to be friends. I'm not going to try to be, you know, your parent, because she fucking refuses to hear any of that from me. Rightfully so, fine. I haven't been. So we're in this weird in-between stage, but I said, we missed that. The cookie crumbled the way it crumbled, and I'm so sorry. I know it's heartbreaking, but we have a lot of life still. We still get to be friends, and I'll still be your dad, and I'll still be here for you, and I'll still love you. And I do have a lot of life experience to give you when you're ready to hear it. So just letting you know, I understand. I know it's okay that you're mad, but I'm always here, and I'm always your dad.
Well, dude, I'm super proud of you for having that conversation. I imagine that was probably a little nerve-wracking to have. And I'm glad that you were able to, you know, tell her that you see it, right? Be like, hey, like, I imagine, because, you know, she's so young, right? Like, she probably sits there and think, you know, when you're a teenager, no one understands you, right? Like, no one gets it. And so For you to have that conversation and to sit there and say, hey, no, I'd be willing to bet that I know exactly how you feel. Now, you didn't live her life, right? You didn't grow up the way she did, but you are a part of it. And so you have a way of sitting back now with your wisdom to go, hey, I see this. I understand how this could make you feel a certain type of way. And I'm sorry about that, right? But here's what we can do is we can move forward and we can have a great life moving forward on your time, right? And I imagine you said that something like that, like when you're ready. And you put the ball in her court and you cleaned your side of the street, dude. And that's fantastic, bro. That's fantastic. I imagine that was a big relief for you, bro. You feel good after that?
Yeah. And I mean, I think the important part is for someone you love and care about, the lesson, like, let them know that they're seen. Let them know that they're understood and they're heard with no buts. It's not, I'm sorry, but you, none of that shit. I was literally like, it's not lost on me. I'm not like out here just completely unaware of the fact that this is unfair, that this sucks, that this is potentially hurtful to you. But at the same time, Lyndon and anyone does deserve a father figure and the best version of me. And it's regretful to me. I have this patience now that an 18-year-old, 19-year-old on coke and ecstasy and tons and tons and tons of liquor did not have. But, you know, and I literally was just like, I understand and I'm sorry and I love you. Okay. And there's no buts and there's no, you need to forgive me and hurry up. It's just, I get it. And I'm sorry. And I love you. And whenever you want to talk about it, I'm here to talk about it. And I'll always be here for you. So making her feel heard and understood and seen, I think that was my goal of that conversation. And yeah, it felt good, man. Felt really good.
That's fucking beautiful, bro. I love a good, you know, heart-wrenching, you know, solid conversation, right? Where you get to just pour it all out there and way to not add any buts or amendments to it, right? Like, you just took it right on the chin, bro. And that's how you always are. But it's human nature for us to want to deflect a little bit. So I'm super proud of you for just saying, hey, this is what it is. And cool of you to say, hey, if you want to talk, you know, old dad here has got a bunch of tools in his toolbox that can help you maybe process this a little bit better too. So that's dope. And my prayers are with Katie that she'll come around more and more, because you are a gem, dude. You are a gem. She still might harbor some of these resentments, but her dad has got a lot of really good, insightful things and loves her very much. So, that's super cool, dude. I didn't know you did that. That's fucking dope, man. That makes me happy as hell.
Well, and it's weird too, because again, she's not like this, like, I hate you, I hate you. Like, she tells me she loves me. She gives me hugs and kisses and, you know, like, she loves me, but she's like, she also like carries some guilt around it where she's like, I just have this resentment and I wish I didn't. I wish it was gone, but I can't just make it go away. And I said, that's fine. Like, you don't have to. And I understand. So there's still love. It's not. And then the funny part about it, in addition, it's also, she's a fucking teenager. So like, she's doing her own thing. She doesn't fuck with any of her family really at this point, like any of us did. So it's this weird spot where it's not just me. It's also just who she is and where she's at right now. But you know, I'm still working my way back, just like, Brian's a little further along than I am. But we're getting there, and you know, the love is there, the information's there, the conversation's open, you know, whenever she wants to have it.
Did the episode with Brian prompt this conversation, or was it just something you planned on doing?
You know, I always try to have a conversation with her when I'm home, because like I said, I have work to do just to get back to zero. But I think it did. And I thought about the Lyndon thing, and it's like, it was important to me, like I said, to just tell her, because she sees me with Lyndon on social media, which, like I talked about, I try not to post too much because I know she sees it. I know she feels bad, or it makes, I don't want to make her feel bad, you know, it's weird. Like, so I wanted to just be like, hey, just so you know, I know that sucks. I just want to let you know, I understand that sucks. And I get it, but it's not a good reason for me to like change or not be a good father figure to Lyndon, you know?
No, dude. And the cool thing was that she confirmed it though. Right. And for her, like, I'm talking like for her to be like, yeah, I have thought about that. It does suck. And it does bother me.
She's,
you know,
also,
I mean?
Like, you have this whole family and this wife that I've only met one time. So it's kind of weird for me.
Yeah, understandable. Understandable. But you highlighted a very good point too by telling her, hey, you know, Kristen came with Lyndon, right? And I can't rob Lyndon of a father figure just because I have other children, right? You know what I mean? And hopefully that and you have pent up guilt, like, be like, Lyndon comes around, wants to play with me, be like, hey Lyndon, I'm sorry, I can't do that because I got kids in California, you know what I mean? And hopefully she's cognizant enough to understand that. Katie seems like a very bright girl. I'm sure she probably...
Dude, let me tell you, Lyndon fucking loves me, which almost makes it more hard because I'm like, God, I could have...
Yeah, we talked
about it. I missed this with Katie, you know? But Lyndon, so she goes out and does yard work with me now. I listen to football podcasts about, like, about NFL for fantasy. Yeah. She takes one headphone. Are we listening to football? She listens to the football podcast.
That's the greatest thing in the world.
I put the two in yesterday and she was like, are you listening to football? Let me have one. You know, like, she it's here. And these guys debate these football players that she has no clue about. And she, like, listens to the whole thing. She loves playing basketball. She loves watching basketball and football with me. She literally asked me, is basketball on? Is football on? Like, she wants to watch it. And, that's like, awesome, the relationship dude. We have is incredible, dude.
Yeah, man. I said it on that past episode, bro. This is God's way of giving you that chance. So try not to beat yourself up too much about it. But that's fucking funny, man. That was a... I got a good little gem about podcasts today. I guess Ash went and ran an errand with the kids, or with Addie. I had Graham over here earlier today, and they come back in, they're like, hey, we listened to your last episode. And Addie comes up to me and she goes, you're really funny, Daddy. And then walks away. And I was like, oh, that's great. I was like, that's great. I'm glad that we're listening to the podcast where I'm over here telling fucking everybody to suck my dick and eat my ass. But that's pretty good parenting. Right? But I mean, dude, you know, it's all fine and well. But yeah, man, that's beautiful, bro. That's beautiful. That's fucking fantastic. You want to know something else that's beautiful? I'm going to get us off this topic because it's getting me sad.
I do.
And this is a joyous thing. I went to that fucking Michelin star restaurant Localis downtown. You ever heard of that place?
Okay. I don't think I have.
No, it was like my first time going to a Michelin star restaurant. You ever been to one?
I don't think I have.
Well, dude, let me tell you this, dude. A 12-course meal had me feeling more drunk than I think I had ever felt in my entire life. I was driving home, dude. I was like, I feel like I'm going to pass the fuck out, dude. Like, because you're so full, bro. And I had like, I mean, it was like 12 different types of meats. Like,
they weren't like the little baby, like, dime size plates.
No, dude, it was wild as hell, but it was a cool ass experience. But, dude, I mean, I had everything from fucking scallops to sturgeon to duck to fucking crazy, like, sunflower puree, fucking crazy stuff. Dude, it was nuts. It was the craziest experience of my life, man. I felt like I was on the Food Network. So I just wanted to share that. Go try Localis if you're in SAC, but make sure you bring a bunch of money. It's like $200 a fucking seat.
Another thing you should try is Cannon, which is my brother-in-law's restaurant in Midtown. And it is a bib gourmand, which I don't know what the fuck that means, except basically it's an honorable mention in the Michelin guide. So it's honorable mention that. And then I got to go to the new restaurant he opened, which is called Now You Gotta Kiss Me, which is called Cantina Pedregal, and it is in Folsom. It's right by that In-N-Out. It's right by the exit where
Bidwell.
Is that where the big shopping center and the theater are?
Yeah, Palladio. Yeah, it's up Bidwell. Yeah. East Bidwell.
It's right on that exit. And it is like authentic Mexican, like mixed with Northern. It's dude, it was so fucking good. And my daughter works there. She's a busser. So, and it's not cheap, but it's not super expensive. It's not like super fancy, and it's all like shareable. So you order big entrees and then you all kind of like share. And everything we had was fucking incredible. So definitely go check that out.
I'm going to go check that out, dude. I always have a certain feeling about East Bidwell. That's where I got my first fucking DUI. I hate Folsom cops. I drive through Folsom and I'm just like, dude, fuck these motherfuckers. Every time I see them, I just get so mad. But I will definitely check that out. But yeah, definitely a really cool experience, man. You know, go have some fine dining. The Eat Locale guy was, or Localis guy was pretty cool. He was like a Lord of the Rings nerd and was talking about all these stories about how
the head chef or
head chef. Yeah, dude. I stood at the chef's table. To you? No, you're at the chef's table. We like sat at the chef's table, and he's like everybody pauses and they all like sit there and like lift the plates up, and then he sits there and gives you a fucking spiel, and he was joking around. I guess my brother said he smokes a bunch of Kron. He's friends with all the guys in the dispensary. I got that vibe, but it was cool, dude. It was cool. It was dope. Is there anything else you want to cover in this little episode, bud?
Well, I did have a blast at the beach, and I love how you said be a kid and have some fun, because that is exactly what I did physically at the beach. I was, like I said, making sandcastles, running around. Also, another funny thing is, if there's a function and there's a bunch of adults and there's a bunch of kids playing, you will find me with the kids. I'm playing ball. I'm playing baseball. I'm playing whatever games they made up. I'm in the pool throwing them. Like, you catch me with the kids, because that's where the fun is had. So it's funny that you said that. And I love that point, dude. Have a good time. Stay young. Stay active. But another thing that Kristen's brother-in-law he's a really cool dude. And we got along great. But he's intense. He's like go, 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 like always doing stuff, including like sweeping while I'm still eating and stuff, which is fun. Running the sweeper, they call it out here, which is also known as a vacuum while I'm still eating. it's fun. But Kristen and I are trying to like adopt some of this guy's juju, which we have since we've been home, and we're trying to remain these people. But like, something in my body always tells me, like, when I finish a task, even be it the smallest task ever, I need a little breaky break. I need to sit down for a minute. Brian doesn't fucking sit down ever. Brian's just getting after it. There's never a dish in the sink. There's never a dirty counter. There's never a dirty floor. Like, he's just getting like after it. So we've tried to adopt some of his behavior, and I got this. I'm like, oh wow, I don't need a little breaky break. Oh wow, I could just finish this before I sit down. And we've been doing it since we've been home. And prayers up for me that it lasts more than like these 3 days, because so far so good.
Well, good, dude. Prayers up. Look at you. You got like a pristine house going on over there. I kind of have that part of that like cleaning OCD came. It got passed down from my mom. My mom, I was never allowed to have like a dish in the sink. Like the floors were always vacuumed. I had to have the lines on the carpet, you know, like all that type of shit. And
I mean,
and
we're at an Airbnb and this guy vacuumed like 6 times while we were there.
That's a little fucking extreme. But I mean, dude, like, you know, It just feels better though, right, dude? Like when you just keep the house like kept up, and you walk around and like everything's kind of organized and it's clean, it just feels better, dude. It like makes me not having it does makes me not have anxiety.
And also, if you spend 3 minutes doing dishes every night, you don't have to spend an hour and a half doing dishes when you let it get out of hand. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Well, dude, that's like actually a Kree-Rin fucking thing, dude. Like right after I get done with dinner, like I immediately just go up and just put those fucking things straight into the dishwasher. Like that's exactly what happens. And I don't let it get to a fucking point. Like I'll rinse my plate off and boom, bang, 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 bang. And it's done. And it makes me feel happy inside, because then the house is clean. And there's not shit. But vacuuming 6 times, your brother-in-law needs to fucking take a chill pill, bro. That's wild.
He has no chill. There will be no chilling. Well, but yeah, we made dinner twice since we've been home, and every time, as soon as we were done, did all the dishes, cleaned them up, put them away. Kitchen's clean already. Didn't take that long. It's like you build up this like, oh, it'll be so hard in your head, and then you do it, and you're like, oh, okay, that was pretty
easy. And then it's fucking done. And then it's done. Then you don't got to just build up to like dread it. Be like, oh, I still got to do the fucking dishes. Be like, God damn, I just sat down and I got comfortable. But
little dishes as you cook as well.
Yep. Don't let him sit there. All right, Flynn boy. Well, let me get a fucking Crewins quote in real quick, for the sake of consistency.
Crewins quote real quick.
I still can't fucking say it, dude. I don't know what the deal is
But that's a mouthful, dude.
Dude, I cannot say it.
Crewins quote quick.
See, can't do it, dude. Can't do it. But here's a good one, dude. And it's very applicable. I picked it right before we started this episode, but it's funny because we ended up talking about it. The day you stop racing is the day you win the race. And that's just kind of like sitting back, relaxing, but also I guess having fun too. I love it. And that's from Bob Marley. So Bob Marley, don't take yourself too seriously. Don't run around, you know, yada, yada. You can interpret it however you want to fucking interpret it. Go have fun. Play in the sand. Yada, yada, yada.
I like that.
What are we having him follow this week, my friend? Since you're back, I'm putting it on you.
Nothing, because we do zero social media. So
That's true.
If you haven't already, rate this podcast and please leave us a comment. Leave us a voice note. We'll put it on the show. Also, send it to a friend. That's the best possible way that we can get our message out, is if you just share it with your pal. And I believe you have a ton of videos backed up on that one thing. Maybe this week we get going on Instagram and start dropping some hot fire reels.
You know what? I think the time has come.
Pod on IG.
The summertime has been rough this go around with the kids and fucking all that shit. The timing, you traveling around the world. I have slacked on that. That was my job, and I've done terrible. But we do have them chopped up. We just got to get them uploaded. So, Hen, it's so good to have you back, dude. I can't explain how happy it is. I hope you are happy to be back as well. I will finish this like I always do. I love you very much, my man.
I love you too, Cam. And remember, age ain't nothing but a number. Stay young and have some fun. And be yourself and have fun playing with kids and fuck what they think.
And make sure that you're not the person who died by breaking their fucking hip.
I'm an MC with the music. I'm here, eagle. I'm running off my feet. And boy, the lyric goes awry. Oh, no, all right.